We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
You guys remember a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, I shared a sermon about the miracle is in the house, and I was sharing from Elisha in 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 4, where it was the widow with the jar of oil, and she had to pay for her sons that were going to be taken into slavery, and so the man of God came and gave her a word, and she operated by faith, and it produced a miracle. And I was basically sharing that message about from something that I had been reading, and I was very encouraged by it, that the miracle is always in the house, that the miracle that we need to see breakthrough in our church, the miracle that we need to see breakthrough in our community is already right here. It's in the room tonight. It's in each and every single one of you, and it's a matter of each and every single one of us figuring out what that gift, what that talent, what that thing on the inside of us that God has called us to do, and then using it for God's glory and for His kingdom. And this morning, I got up kind of early. I'd like to say it's because I'm very spiritual and I get up early to pray, but it's kind of like I'm still a little bit on European time, and my body is just waking me up at interesting times throughout the night. I wake up wide awake at 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh, well, I guess I can either read or go back to sleep, and I kind of choose both, read a little, read myself back to sleep. But anyway, I was up really early this morning, and so I just woke up wide awake, and so I went downstairs and just started reading and started praying, spending some time with the Lord, and God really began to give me some more direction along the lines that I had already received instruction on from the miracle is in the house, and that we have the talent, we have the gifts on the inside of each and every single one of us. And I shared that message, and back when I shared it, I mean, I really believed in what I was sharing, but I wasn't exactly sure how that was going to, you know, how that was going to affect each and every single one of us, and how we could really channel that and direct that for each of us to figure out what it is that God has called us to do, and then how we're going to use that. And tonight, I believe I'm going to attempt to share what the Lord was putting on my heart this morning, and I believe that it'll cause you to want to do something big for the kingdom of God. I believe that every single one of you here tonight is called to do something big for the kingdom of God. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're called into a fivefold ministry. Maybe it does. But I believe that you are called to make an impact. I think that probably most of you, if not every single one of you, has wanted to do that very same thing, that exact thing, to make an impact with God, for God's kingdom, since you were a child. Maybe you weren't even saved, but you thought about doing something big even when you weren't saved, and you thought about how you could make an impact. And then when you get saved, it becomes even better, because you used to just want to do it for your own sake, but then once you get saved and God fills you with His love and compassion for people, now you have a real purpose and a reason to do something big. But I think that many people have talents, have gifts, have abilities on the inside of them, but they don't necessarily know how to use it, how to channel it in the right direction in order to use the thing that God has put on the inside of you to bring increase into His kingdom. You might not know how to take that very thing that God has put there, that gift and talent on the inside of you, how do I take this and use it in order to bring increase and expand God's kingdom? For example, I like hunting. I love shooting deer. It's one of my favorite things to do. This time of year is just wonderful for me. I drive down the roads and I just see the woods, and I feel like it's calling me. I feel like the woods is pulling on my heart. And I see a deer standing in the field, and I just think to myself, that thing is not supposed to be alive right now. I'm supposed to be shooting it. Anyway, amen. It takes an Englishman to come and encourage me in this. But anyway, like, it's like, okay, great. So I have this passion to kill deer, but how on earth does that gain me anything in God's kingdom? I mean, sure, it puts some meat on the table and it provides me with some entertainment, but is there a way that I could use that for God's kingdom? And what God was really dealing with me and sharing and putting on my heart this morning is that no matter what it is that you like to do, whatever it is that you're passionate to do, I promise you that God can use that for his kingdom. Granted, it doesn't have anything to do with sin. All right, sin is off the table. But if it's something that's pure and good and just in, you know, a positive thing, if you're part of PETA, you might think that what I'm doing is sinning by killing deer, but I'm assuming we don't have any PETA members here tonight. Nobody that would be involved in a group like that would stay in this church very long after the way I talk about animals. But I believe that God's going to show you tonight, as he showed me this morning, how God can use your gift, how God can use your talent to make an impact in the community that you are a part of. And I think this is something that I wish that, you know, I could have known years ago, even starting the church. And, you know, because I think that if we'll get what I'm going to share tonight, that this is going to bring such increase to the body of Christ here. And, you know, I think it's just going to take off. So let me first read some scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. I first want to encourage you, because some of you might still be questioning the idea, well, do I really have a gift? Do I really have a talent? I feel kind of worthless. My parents mistreated me. I've been mistreated my whole life. No one's ever believed in me. I'm not smart, I'm not pretty, I'm not this, I'm not that. People deal with all kinds of excuses and they have all kinds of thoughts going through their head because of negative things that were spoken over them. But one thing that you have to understand is that no matter what any word or anything that any person has spoken over you, that is not what God says about you, and that's not the way God sees you. It's not the way that God thinks about you. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship." Say, "I'm His workmanship."
I'm His workmanship.
Say it again. "I'm His workmanship."
I'm His workmanship.
I mean, do you think God made a mistake when He made you? If you're His workmanship, Almighty God, creator of heaven and the earth, the creator of the whole universe, when He planned the world into existence, when He created the stars, when He created the sun and the moon and all the wonderful complexities of life that we see all around us, when He created that, He also had you in mind. You are His workmanship. You were in His plan. You were predestined to be in Him from the very beginning. You were a part of His plan. And here He says that you are His workmanship. So regardless of what everybody else thinks about you, regardless of the way anybody else has treated you, regardless of the way society might even think about you, you have to change your thinking about yourself and understand that you are God's workmanship. You're His workmanship. What did God say about the prophet Jeremiah? Not speaking about myself. He's a guy in the Bible. But what did He say about him? "I knew you in your mother's womb." God knew him before he ever even came into existence in this world. You see, God has handpicked you for such a time as this. God has created you to live in this time. God has created you with a plan and a purpose in mind. And God has put things on the inside of you, gifts, talents, abilities, anointings, callings, whatever it is that's on the inside of you, He's put it there so that you can use it to expand His kingdom. And you're His workmanship. Maybe things haven't worked out in life for you so well up to this point. Maybe things are going fantastic. Well, for those of you that things are going great, they can always get better. Amen. That's one thing that I've learned with God, that as good as things have gotten with God so far in life, there's always more. There's always better. There's always greater revelation. No matter how many times I approach God's word, I always learn something new when I go in. No matter how many times I approach God's presence, I always feel refreshed and invigorated and challenged. And no matter what, there's always something more with God, no matter how far you ever make it with Him. And no matter how bad things have maybe been in your past, If you'll get a revelation that you are God's workmanship, that He has created you, that He loves you, that you were a part of His plan, maybe that's the reason you've missed things, is because you've been doing things all on your own, and now it's time to learn to depend on Him and His plan for your life. So it says that, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?" Man, does everybody have their Bible tonight? Can I see it? Do you have a Bible? Let me see your Bible. All right, I'm going to read this, and maybe you guys can just help fill in the words, because I paused there intentionally hoping you guys would figure out what I was doing, but it seems like no one did. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?" Good works. "For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, God has handpicked you. He has created you. He has formed you into existence. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's why He worked you into this world. You are His workmanship. For what purpose? So that you can do good works. Not so that you can be idle, not so that you can be lazy, not so that you can just do your own thing, but He has hand-formed you, handcrafted you, so that you can do good works. Man, anytime you add handcrafted to anything, you know it's better, right? I mean, when I was in high school, this is very unspiritual what I'm about to share, but I mean, when I was in high school, like, I mean, I like math, and you know, you need a pencil for math, right? Man, I'm telling you, the best pencil that is out there is a Dixon Ticonderoga pencil, handcrafted. I'm telling you, the best cheeseburger that you go out and get is handcrafted. God handcrafted you. You're His workmanship. He created you with His plans. You are God's workmanship, and you're the best. You're called to be the best because He wants you to do good works for His kingdom, for His glory. God didn't create you so that you could be subpar. God didn't create you so that you could just be average. God didn't create you so that you could blend in with everybody else. God created you so that you could rise to the top. God created you so that you could be the best of the best. God created you so that you can shine like the stars, so that you can be His glorious church, His spotless bride. God created you to show forth His glory, and that's exactly what He wants you to do. But some of you are thinking, yeah, but I mean, what does that really mean? How do I take my life and show forth His glory when I'm called to be a technician? I'm called to be a doctor. I'm called to be a teacher. I'm called to be a mom. How do I take that and show forth His glory? And that's tonight what I'm going to show you, is that no matter what it is that God has called you to do, He has a way that He can use you to show forth His glory to every area of society. Amen? Amen? Let's read a couple Proverbs, just because Proverbs are cool. Proverbs 18, verse 16. They say something like, if you read a proverb every day, it makes you cool. Actually, I don't know what the saying is, but it's something. It makes you smarter, makes you better, makes you keeps the stupid away. Clearly, you can tell some people have been reading their Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, just switch over a couple chapters to 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. You have a gift. You have a work. You have a talent that God has given you. And that is what is going to cause you to rise to the top. I mean, you study the blessing in the Bible. You can read about the blessing in the Old Testament. You can read about the blessing in Deuteronomy. And when you do that, you find out that God blesses the work of our hand. That God blesses the works of our hands. Some people wonder why they haven't been experiencing too much blessing lately. Well, what are your hands doing? Are they doing something for God? And when you put your hands to work for God's kingdom, I promise you they'll become blessed. James chapter 1 and 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes down from our Heavenly Father. No bad gifts come down from God. Bad things come from the devil. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The devil goes about as a roaring lion. But God came to give us life. Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundantly. Jesus wants you to live an abundant life. And I'm telling you, when you get into His plan, when you get into His purpose for your life, and you set yourself about doing good works for His kingdom, because you found out I'm His workmanship and He created me specifically so that I can do good works for His kingdom, you start living the life abundant. Why? Because the Bible says that when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added to you. All the things that we've been seeking for, all the things that you desire, when you set your hand to God's kingdom, God blesses the work of your hands, and you realize, I'm doing God's work, I'm doing good works for the kingdom of God. God's hand of blessing comes upon you, and you become rich so that you can be generous in every occasion. You become blessed, you become healthy, you begin to shine forth like the way that God has called you to shine. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the practical side of this, but first I just want you to believe in yourself a little bit. I think that's a lot of people's problem, is they don't believe in themselves. You got to learn to believe in yourself. Why? God believes in you, so why don't you believe in you? God's way smarter than you are, isn't He? He's a lot smarter than me, I'll admit it. And He believes in me. So if He believes in me, because He says I'm His workmanship, well, then I should believe in me too. I might not be the smartest. I might not be the prettiest. I might not be the most muscular. I mean, currently, all right? I have been in the past. Not there right now. All right? Julia, why are you laughing at me? She just eats whatever and stays skinny. You should have seen her at Thanksgiving. Was that last Thanksgiving? She ate 3 times the amount of food that I ate and didn't gain an ounce. I didn't even understand where it was all going. I ate like a half plate of food and I was like tapped out. It wasn't like she was just eating fluff. She was like piling on the food, and everyone was just watching her like, where is this all going? This tiny little lady is just packing it down. Anyway, that's way off topic. But no matter, I was trying to say I'm not like, you know, whatever, maybe the most capable, the most qualified, but when I found what God's plan was for my life, I decided I'm going to seek after that, and God has began to bless the work of my hand because I've decided to make it a work for His kingdom. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. God has given gifts to men. Ladies, you just got, you know, passed over. Sorry. But if you marry a good husband, you know, you can still get some of the blessing. No, I'm just kidding. It's for you too. But God has given gifts from Jesus when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. God is a good God, and he has good things in store for us, and he has gifts for us. He has gifts for you. He has talents for you. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll just read verses 3 to 11. For I say through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one that measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verse 6. I'm going to start reading from verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. Having gifts, and it clarifies, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, to his exhortation. To he who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and in liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be a sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil, loathe ungodliness, and turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. You see, he lists here several different gifts, several different things, and for each one, I mean, I don't care who you are, there is something that God has anointed you to do. Maybe you've been anointed to prophesy. Maybe you've been anointed to be a giver. Maybe you've been anointed to have just hospitality. But God has anointed you for something. There is some sort of a purpose. There is some sort of thing that you know that has been stirring on the inside of you for a while that, man, I just love to do this. Or I see these people that have this need and nobody's doing anything about it. Well, maybe God has shown you those people. He's shown you those needs. He's given you that talent. He's given you that ability because he wants you to reach exactly those kinds of people. I was going to read from Exodus about Moses, but I mean, I think we've read enough verses, so I'll just tell you what he says, what happens there. Jethro, how many wish you had a father-in-law named Jethro? I mean, it's coolest father-in-law name ever, Jethro. What up, Jethro? Anyway, that's Moses' father-in-law. And Moses out in the desert, and he's counseling, and he's got people coming to him with problems. They come up, and they're like, what up, counsel? And so... Sorry, it's lame reference to a video. Anyway, so they come up to him and they tell him the problem that they're having and they're like, I need some help. And he gets exhausted because there's like this long line of people and the people get exhausted because they've been waiting in line all day to hear him. And finally, Jethro comes up with a solution to his problem and he says, look, man, you're just doing it. You're doing it wrong. You're taking too much of a burden on yourself. You're trying to do it all on your own. And I'll tell you, in much of leadership, in secular businesses and companies and churches, no matter where you find leaders, you find people doing it exactly like Moses was trying to do it, where they're trying to do everything themselves, where they're burning themselves out and they're burning the people out that are following them because they're just trying to do everything. Yeah, I mean, there's this guy that I used to work for. He was a paver and I was paving hot asphalt in Tampa, Florida. And I'm telling you, if asphalt is hot anywhere, it's really hot in Tampa in the summer because it's like 100 degrees outside, 100% humidity, and no shade. You're just in the sun, just working, scooping up shovels of asphalt and, you know, whatever. And there was this guy that I worked for, and I mean, wonderful, kind, generous man. But he's like, you know, this old school type of worker where it's like, you know, nobody does it as good as you, and so just has an issue with delegation. So, I mean, there was so many times where I'm working for him that, I mean, he could have told, he had four or five of us guys working for him that we all could have done the exact same thing that he was doing, but just because he felt that no one could do it as good as he could, he's going to do it himself. So, and I don't know what happened to him when he got on the job site. All of a sudden, the words that he spoke became very unintelligible. You had no clue what he is saying, but 9 times out of 10, it was, bring me a shovel. So no matter what he would yell at me, like, I mean, I literally had no clue what he's saying because he's like from deep south, and he's not really speaking English. He's just yelling for something. So whenever he looked at me and started yelling, I would just grab a shovel and run and give it to him. And then I don't even know how to attempt what it sounded like. It was gibberish. And so he would, huh? Are you trying?
No.
You want to go for it?
I shovel.
There. Perfect. Perfect. And so, but so, I mean, like, we're all end up just standing there. And so now, instead of getting this job done in a few minutes' time, because he's like, hey, I need some asphalt over here, fill in this low spot, the whole project stops. Everyone just has to stand there and watch him as he wants to fix, you know, the problem. And, you know, of course he gets it done very well and does a good job at it. But meanwhile, we're all just standing around and no work's being done. And this is what was taking place with Moses in the desert. And everyone's just standing around because they're all trying to meet him. And Jethro sees this taking place and he's like, dude, you got to get some people to help you. So he gets people to put in charge of he gets some people to be in charge of thousands of people, some people to be in charge of hundreds of people, some people to be in charge of 50s, some people to be in charge of 10s. And then by that, like when you're in charge of 10 people, one of those 10, you know, has a problem, they come up to you and they're like, I'm just really struggling and can you help me? Well, what's wrong? Oh, I stubbed my toe. Here's a Band-Aid. Now I don't have to go see Moses for a Band-Aid for my stubbed toe. You see, it solved a lot of the problem. And so, but what many leaders are doing is that they're actually trying to take the whole burden on for themselves and that they're just trying to do everything. And even though it's almost like this sense of kind of like false humility where they're like thinking that they're not trying to let the other people do the work that they feel that they should be doing, and they don't want to like burden everybody else with doing these tasks, so I'll just try and do everything, but it ends up making it harder and worse for everybody else. So it actually started to work out a whole lot better for Moses once he started to delegate authority to other people. And one of the things that I'm realizing the longer I go in ministry is the more that we can delegate authority as leaders in the church, that the more that God will allow us to do. Because God wants you to become a leader. And then God wants you to lead leaders. And then God wants to promote you. And if you're going to be lazy and don't want to be promoted, he'll promote somebody underneath of you to surpass you, and then they'll be your leader sooner or later. But God has a way of doing things where he wants people to delegate authority. And so I realize that a lot of times, even in our ministry, I'm finding myself doing things that really I probably shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing them because I like to be like Moses. I like to be like my old boss with a shovel of hot asphalt, and I want to do it myself. Give me a shovel of asphalt. It's as close as I can get to cussing without it being cussing, so whatever. You know, maybe I should stop saying it. But it really is what it is, right? I'm not making that up. Anyway, so, but leaders, if we want to be successful and if we want to see other people become successful, we have to turn other people into leaders. As long as we only allow everybody else to follow and we're the only ones that are allowed to lead, you're holding those people back from becoming leaders. And you all here on a Wednesday night, I see every single one of you as a leader in the kingdom of God. Nobody comes to church on a Wednesday night in Brockport, New York, unless they actually are a leader in the kingdom of God. You might not feel like it right now, but that's the way that I see you, and that's the way that God sees you. And if you'll allow God to work in your life, and you'll realize that I'm his workmanship created in him to do his good works, then you'll soon rise to the top and become a leader in whatever God has anointed you to do. And so, what God was dealing with me with this morning is that every single one of us, we have something that we're excited about. We have something that we're passionate about, even if it's something, you know, that, you know, your parents don't want you doing, like playing video games. I don't care what it is. You're excited about something. And when you're excited about something, you just enjoy talking about it, right? I mean, whatever it is, you just like talking about. When it comes to hunting, You know, you can set me in a group of 100 people, and I might not have one thing in common with any of them, but if I find somebody that likes hunting, I could spend the rest of my afternoon talking to that one person, exchanging hunting stories. Oh man, let me tell you this one time. I was driving down the road, and I saw these three deer running through the middle of this field. This is a true story, by the way. So what I did was I was like, I saw which direction they were heading towards my woods, and I said to myself, well, I got three tags left. I bet you I can bag all three of them. So what I do is I drive up ahead, and there's a pear orchard, and I jump out of the car, literally run to the back of my car, grab my gun, and I'm wearing my full camo, because this is now winter during gun season. I got like full coat on, everything, and these huge boots on, and I got about a 500-yard run to get to the woods where I'm going, and I just start running, and I'm trying to cut these deer off because they're angling this way and I'm trying to cut them off this way. I get to the woods, I'm huffing and puffing and just like totally out of breath, but I try and sneak as quiet as I could to where they were heading. I get there just before they got to the corner of the woods where I saw them going, and thank God I have a 12-gauge semi-automatic shotgun pumped full of lead, and I just pull up, boom, 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 dinner, done. Bagged them. I could tell you deer stories all night, but what good does that get me in the kingdom of God? Not much. Unless I can figure out how I can take what I'm passionate about and channel it into a way that impacts people. And so this is what God was dealing with me about this morning, is that everybody's passionate about something. Maybe you're a techie and, you know, you speak computer language. Maybe you're a mom and you just love raising kids and talking about kids. Maybe whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you're excited, maybe you're really excited about business, and maybe you're excited about sales. Maybe you're excited about feeding homeless people. Maybe you're excited about prison inmates. Maybe you're excited about reaching college students. Maybe you're excited about, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. You like reading books. Whatever it is, I promise you that God can turn that in a way to impact people for his kingdom. You might be a cat lady. And God bless the cat ladies. You know, he loves them too. And you know what? I believe even that cat ladies can be used in the kingdom of God. Takes a little extra work. Little extra anointing, but I believe they can get there too. So how can we do this? How can we use our passions, our things that we just love to talk about? How can we use the things that we're gifted and talented in? Maybe you love cooking and creating wonderful creations of food. Maybe you like knitting or scrapbooking or anything, really. You see, if you like that something, I promise you there's somebody else out there that likes that something. So it's a matter of finding those other people that like the very same things that you do. And just like me and that hunting story, we can sit there and go back and forth and exchange hunting stories and create a connection with each other. And eventually, it becomes very easy to become friends because we have this connection. And I know we go out soul winning and we talk to everybody and we try to reach everybody. And it works to an extent. But I think that if we could specifically find the people that we could connect with on the things that we like to connect with and talk about, how much easier would it be? I mean, when you're out there and you find somebody that loves the exact same thing that you really love, wouldn't it just be great to start up a conversation and then at the end, you know, you can talk about Jesus and share the gospel with them? Well, we can do exactly that. Well, this is what I'm talking about, is we are going to find people that like exactly the same things that you do, and then we're going to empower you to be able to meet with those people. And you know what's great with technology is Facebook ads are crazy. They're like, I was talking with Jordan the other day and I was like, man, in order to like work at Facebook and create these ads, you like one of your job qualifications has to be like, I'm a stalker. Because like those ads, they stalk you. Have you ever been having a conversation with somebody talking about something and like you go home and all of a sudden here's an ad for something you were talking about? I mean, like, they're stalkers. It's just not right. They invade your privacy. Well, I decided that if people are going to invade your privacy and they're going to stalk you for the sake of making a dollar off you, well, why don't we do the same thing except use it for a kingdom purpose? So, you know, Facebook, I mean, like, we're not really actually going to stalk people, but what you can do is you can go online, you can go on Facebook, create an ad that literally selects exactly the type of people that you are. And if you've been on there recently, it gets pretty specific. Like, hey, I'm a mom of 22 years old and I have kids ages from 2 to 4. I can literally create an ad for that lady. It's weird. And I mean, you can create ads for just about anybody that fits in any demographic. Am I right, Jordan? I mean, tech guru right there confirmed it. How do I know? Because we did one the other day. We started, you know, we created one for people that you can create one that says like recently moved to the area and you can create a specific ad for them. So we did that and it's like, are you looking for a new church? And it's literally targeting people that just moved to the area. And I mean, and then from that, this is how crazy stalker Facebook gets. You can track the people that actually clicked that ad and went to your website and then advertise to now just the people that went to your website. It gets like really far in the stalker level. That's what I'm saying. It's messed up. But I was like, man, we're going to use this as a tool for building God's kingdom. So if I know there's people in our church here tonight that have passions and talents about, you know, just about anything, we can use those passions and talents to create communities within our church here so that you can create a commonality with those people and then share the gospel with them. So we're going to, you know, you can, you know, if you have a talent or a skill that you can do, like me and Jordan were talking about, and we're like, hey, well, you could teach a class on coding. And you know what? Coders, they pretty much probably stay at home for the most part. We're blessed to have like 3 tech people or 4 tech people here, 5 tech people. I don't know. We're attracting techies here at this church. But so, I mean, like unusual techies that venture out of their house, you know. But for the most part, they're probably like at home in their mom's basement, like in a dark room with cans of Red Bull. They haven't slept in 48 hours and they're like, you know, about to hack the world government or whatever. But anyway, we can use that and you can literally go online and create an ad specifically for those type of people, and then we'll be like, hey, we're gonna do a free class here, and you don't even have to tell them it's at church. You can say like, we can create an ad that says, here's the address, come here. It'll be a 1-hour free class to teach you on this. So we're providing value for them. Maybe it's a scrapbooking class, and we're gonna teach them, you know, maybe it's knitting. Maybe it's just like a social event, like a sports event. But I'm serious, like whatever it is that you really want to do, we can target those people and then we can get them to come for an event that isn't even necessarily a gospel event, but by the time you've connected with them, you've made an impact on them because you've shared value with them, whether even it's just having some food together, maybe it's you're doing a cooking class and you're teaching them how to cook, and by the end of it and you've built this relationship with them, they're going to be so much more open to hearing the gospel from you. And so you know, like, man, this has just been great. This is great fun. I've learned so much from you. And now, I mean, and then you can share your testimony with them and tell them how you received Jesus. And then maybe it goes on beyond just what your talents are and what your skills are, but maybe you have a burden for somebody or a people group. Maybe you're like, you know what? I'm like this biker dude and I'm, you know, tatted up and I used to be a drug dealer and I just have a burden for tatted up biker drug dealers. And you decide that, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to reach them. I mean, it's whatever people group that you find yourself passionate about that you can reach and that maybe I would never reach. Maybe you are a cat lady and you just love other cat ladies and you can start a cat lady group. I'm not picking on anyone here tonight in particular. No, but whatever it is, I promise you, whatever it is, God has created you with a desire on the inside, and I believe that God will use that desire, God will use that passion if you will allow him to, and if you'll get behind the vision that we're going to do here, and we'll pay for whatever we need to pay for, because, I mean, ultimately God was dealing with me on we need to be known and focused on as an outreach church, that everything that we are doing, it's with the mindset of how can we get more people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And if it takes come and do a free cooking class, if it comes taking to a knitting class or a mechanics class or a coding class, whatever it is that we can do to connect with people, to get them in and then share the gospel with them, I promise you that we'll see the results. So here's what I want to know. And you know, you don't have to tell me all right now. What is it that you're passionate about? What is your talent? And maybe you think, well, my talent's useless. You know, nobody really needs it. I promise you it's not. There's 750,000 other people that live in Monroe County, and I guarantee that we can find at least 20 of them that have a similar passion that you do. Maybe you have a talent or a skill that you think, oh, this isn't really, you know, anything that, you know, other people are interested in. I guarantee out of 750,000 people, we can find a few. So whatever it is, I want to know. I want to know what your thing is. Who it is that you want to reach with the gospel. You know, there's countless retirement homes where you have people that are just about to die and nobody's even going out to reach them. No one's going out to share the gospel with them. Maybe God's put that passion in your heart. Maybe you have a hospital ministry on this side of you. Maybe you have a homeless ministry. Maybe you have the biker ministry. Maybe you have the jail ministry. You know, a lot of people in jail come out of jail. Did you ever think about that? Eventually, a lot of them come out of jail. And what if you were the one that made an impact on their life while they were in prison, and they come out and they don't know anybody else, or they don't know anybody that's going to have a positive impact on their life, but they remember that you were the one that visited them and shared the gospel with them, and their life was changed, and they're going to come out and they're going to be like, I got to find that guy. I got to find that lady. I promise you, whatever it is that you're passionate about, whatever talent that you have, God can use it. Let's just read one more cool story from the Bible. Exodus chapter 31, because I want to show you that God can anoint you to do just about anything. We think that the anointing is reserved for pulpit ministry, but it's not really so. Exodus chapter 31. Verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. So you think, wow, he filled him with the Spirit of God. He must be a preacher, right? Wrong. He filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in the cutting of jewels for the setting and in carving of wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab and the son of Ahisamach, whatever, or of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you. God anointed these guys not for the preaching of the gospel. He anointed them to be good with their hands. He anointed them to be able to be crafty and to make the trinkets of the temple. I mean, you can read about all the stuff that these guys had to create, and it was some pretty specific stuff. I mean, they were working with all different kinds of golds and materials and weaving and all different kinds of stuff to create the temple. And God anointed them with the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. You see, we tend to think that the anointing of God comes just to be able to be able to preach and to flow in the spirit of, like, you know, praying for people, which is true. That does happen. But God can also anoint you to complete the tasks that He's set in your heart to do. So what is your passion? What is your desire? Let's use it. Let's use it to grow God's kingdom. I don't care how silly or ridiculous it is. God can use it. To be honest, most people in the world are lonely. There's a lot of lonely people out there. And they're looking for somewhere to have a connection. A lot of them try drugs. A lot of them try alcohol. A lot of them try sex. A lot of them try the wrong things because it's easy to get those things. It's not easy to find Holy Ghost-filled Christians that are doing things the right way, that are full of the Spirit of God and love and compassion and the blessing and health and prosperity and all these things. It's so much easier to find negative things in this world. But if we make it our mission and our goal to go out and find these people, to bring them in and to reach them and make an impact in their life, I promise God will use you to do it. God has anointed you and created you to do good works. You're His workmanship. So let's allow God to use us. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have anointed these people, every single one of them, every single one of us. God, I thank You that You have anointed us, that You have appointed us, that You have called us, that You have equipped us, that You have put gifts and talents and abilities on the inside of them, of each and every single one of us, that You're going to use us to expand Your kingdom, that You're going to use us to become leaders in Your kingdom, that You're going to use us to reach the lost, and every single talent and ability that You've put on the inside of us, I thank You that it comes now bigger and brighter than ever to bring glory to Your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. God, I thank You for a boldness rising up on the inside of every single one of us, a boldness to be used in Your kingdom, a boldness to share Your gospel like we never have before, a boldness to see this region shaken with the power of God, a boldness to share Your goodness with every single one of the people that come across our life. I thank You, Lord, that You've put specific things on the inside of us to reach specific people. Lord, I thank You for those talents being anointed with the Holy Spirit. God, You anointed those men in the Old Testament to be good with their hands and the working of gold and silver and bronze and different things. God, I thank You that You anoint the hands of every single one of us in this room tonight. I thank You that You anoint their abilities. I thank You that people will see that there's no way that they could be that good on their own, that the glory has to go to You, and that as we connect with people in our society, they'll want to come to You just because they see Your goodness reflected in our lives, just because they see Your ability reflected in our lives. Jesus, I thank You for filling them now with Your Spirit, with Your ability. I thank You that You're anointing the works of their hands. I thank You that as they go to write, that they'll write and they'll receive creative ideas in their writing. I thank You as they go to work and they set to their hands to work, that You'll anoint them to do their tasks like they've never done before. I thank You that as they go to sell, that You'll anoint them to sell and that they'll be able to be leaders in the marketplace. God, I thank You that as they go home and as they raise godly children, God, that You'll anoint them to raise children. I thank You, God, whatever it is that You've called them to do, God, that they will shine like the stars, that they will rise like the glorious church that You've called us to be, and that You will use those talents to reach this world in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I had to share for you tonight. I hope you got something out of it. I mean it. I want to know from you guys, what is it that God has called you to do? What is stirring on the inside of each and every single one of you? You see, I don't think that this church, this local body, is going to grow if I remain in old school Moses style of me just trying to do everything. I think it's about getting every single one of you anointed to become a leader. That you're called to lead people. That you're called to make an impact. Amen?
Amen.
That you're called to bring people here and we'll get them saved. We'll get them filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll get them healed. We'll get them set free. We'll get them delivered. But it's your job to get them here. And God has put things on the inside of you to use you to get them here. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Jesus. Man, I promise you, if we'll get this in our hearts, I don't want this to be a message that was like, hey, that was cool, that was good, Pastor Jeremiah, and 6 months later, not one single group has started. I'm telling you, if we have a different group meeting here every single night of the week, every single week of the year, I would be thankful. I don't care if we got cat groups, if we got knitting groups, if we got gaming groups, if we got hunting groups, if we got sports groups, gym groups, whatever kind of groups, coding groups, I don't care. If we have a group meeting here every single night, we'll pay to have the building on, we'll pay to have it heated. We'll do it. We'll, you know, I mean, if we're going to feed people, if we're going to clothe people, whatever it is, I want to know what your passion is, what your burden is. And then all I want to do is enable you to do what God has called you to do and anointed you to do to expand His kingdom. It's about being about His business. That's what Jesus was all about. He was about His Father's business. Amen. So this isn't a message that I'm going to let go. If nobody comes up to me and says like, hey, if nobody comes up to me and tells me their ideas, you know what I'll do? I'll just start preaching the same exact message. And I'll just preach it again. Till everybody's got their own group, till everybody's leading a group of people, till everybody's winning the lost. I'm telling you, look, I mean, you don't have to be the brightest, best charismatic speaker. All you have to do is make an impact on somebody's life. I'm telling you, if you'll teach them something and then just say, hey, the only reason I'm able to do this as good as I do it is because Jesus has anointed me to do it. Now, let me tell you about Jesus. The only reason that I'm as happy as I am is because Jesus set me free from... The only reason that I don't drink alcohol and stoned out of my mind is because Jesus set me free. I promise you, whatever God has done in your life, you can use that to make an impact. Yeah. Amen? So I want to know. I want to know what you're going to do. Amen? I want to know who you're going to reach. God has put somebody in this world for you to reach. God has put somebody in this region that has the same passions and desires and abilities and whatever thing it is that you like to do, even if it's killing deer. God's going to use it. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.